show number 7. This is the Chicago show.
Excellent.
Yeah. This is kind of based on my recent trip to Chicago and our conversations about pizza that we've been having. And we were just listening in the intro to an instrumental from called Downtown Chicago from the Left Tail Light Band. They're not really instrumental folk, but this one just happened to be one. This music can be found on music.download.com, and there's a link to the all the bands here on the website, bigfoamyhead.com. And we're putting together this show after having done another show, so we're doing back-to-back shows, so forgive us because we're already 3 beers into it.
Which is actually a surprise to me. I didn't know we were starting another show.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's cool, though.
While we're on a roll.
Because Dick just opened up some of his Chicago beer that he brought. It's a summer bitter, and it's excellent. It's one of those growlers.
Yep, and a growler, as we will mention
in the future.
It is a 64-ounce jug, and growlers apparently are what a lot of brew pubs use for their beer to go. And I know you can bring them back, get them refilled.
It would certainly simplify life as a home brewer also because, well, if you have groups of people over, you can fill it up once.
Yeah. And I was saying that with some of the beers that you've been making, these would be really good because I know your beer will go fast. And this would definitely be something to use.
That's a topic of conversation. It's timing of when do you start a next batch of beer. Because I'm finding that I'm waiting too long to begin my next batch. And I end up with this dry spell where I don't have any homebrew on hand.
Right.
And once you get used to having homebrew, it's difficult to...
Yep. Well, you know, this brings up a historical moment relating to keeping your beer on hand, that the pilgrims on the Mayflower in their journeys here were forced to put ashore at the nearest landing spot because they were low on beer. And they had to get provisions to make more beer because the sailors were starting to get ugly. So that's why they landed at Plymouth Rock instead of working their way down the coast towards the Indies, which is where they thought they were going to be.
If you've ever seen Plymouth Rock, it's a pretty big letdown.
Is it?
It's just a tiny little rock inside of this kind of brick and
pit. Oh, okay. So the moral of that story is, keep plenty of beer on hand, or brew enough to...
Because you don't want your sailors to get restless.
No, you don't. Or your neighbors, or anybody else. So we were going to call this the Chicago Show, and the reason for that is that we're going to talk about a couple of things that Chicago is known for, beer and pizza. And I had the opportunity to visit Goose Island Brewery, which is located in Chicago. And Chicago has a lot of different breweries. They've got a brew history,
and I believe it's re-emerging, right?
It is.
It's kind of a growing thing.
Well, hopefully everywhere.
Coming back out.
Hopefully everywhere that we'll see a lot more of these. So I'm looking at the Goose Island Brewery history, and this was founded by a fellow, John Hall, who the story goes that he was in an airport at his previous occupation, and bored out of his mind, was reading in a magazine about the boutique breweries, and he fancied a good beer. And
what year?
It says 1988.
Oh, okay.
It says mass-produced beers were an ingrained part of the Midwest landscape. Midwesterners knew little about craft beers. John Hall knew the best way to educate consumers was to open a brew pub, where they can see the brewing process and taste the beer. So John opens this brew pub in Clybourne, which is a neighborhood in Chicago, and it just took off. And it took off like crazy. John knew nothing at all about brewing beer, and he learned the hard way, and apparently learned it right. And his son went to school and is now the head brewmaster at the place, and they make excellent beers. I had to hold back a little because they're out of one, so I only had 11. of their beers.
But you had samplers.
I was pacing myself. Well, yeah, that's what I started with, was samplers. And then I went back and hit the big ones of the ones that I like. So the beers there, they range from wheat ales to very sweet beers to bitter beers. And the one we're drinking right now, the summer bitter. And we're going to sample a few of those. We're going to talk about pizza. We're not going to make deep dish pizza, but we are going to talk about a grilled pizza, which you said you have had that.
At a barbecue show, that seems entirely appropriate.
Yeah, it has to be cooked on a grill. That's the only rule we got around here.
Okay.
You know, you have to cook it on a grill or a smoker. So why don't we take a musical break here, and we will listen to Hound Dog Taylor. He's a resident of Chicago, and here he is. Hound Dog Taylor, going to send you back to Georgia. I found my sheet of paper that had the name of what we were listening to.
So he was guessing the first time, and he was right.
I was glad. I remembered the guy. And I actually, if you listen to Bluesville on satellite radio, I forget which one, I think it's XM, he's on there. He is a real cool guy, plays it sound like it's like Delta Blues, but it's electric, and he's got like this busted cheap amp, and that's what he uses now. And the rest of the band, of course, got good equipment, so it's kind of a nice little mix. And you heard some of this on the CD. It's a real interesting.
That's one of the questions I always had in my mind. I knew that the blues kind of originated in the Mid-South area. I don't know how it quite got up to Chicago, and Chicagoans almost own it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Railroad.
Oh, okay.
Railroad, man. City of New Orleans.
Goes train from they call the City of New Orleans.
That's right.
Man.
Runs from New Orleans to Memphis to Chicago.
And down to, New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah. That's the two ends of the line are Chicago and New Orleans and Memphis smack in the middle. And so that's how everybody...
it's also a great Arlo Guthrie song.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. And see, I just assume everybody knows that, but apparently everyone may not be as age
enhanced. So we exported the blues up to Chicago.
Yep. And, of course, barbecue, you know, that's something that was founded in the South from slave days. And you've heard about that, right? The deal was that...
There are a lot of people who claim to be the originators of barbecue.
Yeah, but...
Including Native Americans.
Yeah, sure. And what is it, Brazilians? I think the word barbacoa, I think is Caribbean or something. But
I think as long as humans have been cooking meat on open fires, we've been doing barbecue. So.
But in the South with slow-cooked pig meat, that came from back in the days when there was the slaveholders would... cut up the pig, and they would take the ham and cure that, and they'd take whatever they considered the finer parts of the pig, and they'd throw away the tougher, fattier cuts of meat, the butts and the ribs, because ribs, you know, they were pain. Well, the slaves were very inventive folk, and they brought that whole Caribbean and African cooking styles with them, and they knew how to take a real poor piece of meat and turn it into something good, and that's where the whole slow and low cooking style originated.
That's right. The softening kind of meat up.
Exactly, and it renders the fat off of the meat. It breaks down the cartilage, and it turns the meat into something fantastic, and of course, then that's where barbecue came from, so we owe that as well as blues to the slaves. So we were listening to some Chicago music, and all the artists featured today are from Chicago, every one of them. And I want to change gears just for a second and recognize some folks who have left some comments on our website. Jeff Nemcher, who has his own podcast called CookingOnTheRadio.com, says he absolutely loves the site. He's been reading up and is glad to subscribe to the podcast and looking forward to a great listen. We appreciate Jeff listening to us, and he does something very similar to what we do. He cooks. He talks about what he cooks. He drinks beer, and he fraternizes with some of those crazy guys at ScrewTops.com. And I encourage you to listen to both of those podcasts as well. Linda from Cincinnati loves our show. And
I've listened to a few Screwtop shows and the belching.
They're
to be critical of another podcast.
Well, that's their thing.
That is their thing.
And that's all.
Let her rip.
I'm wondering, though, if all that's real. I've heard some of them. Some of them just sound just a little too good for.
It'd be a sound effect.
Yeah, who knows? We'll have to call there one day and find out. Linda from Cincinnati says she loves our show. She lives in Cincinnati, which has a rich brewery history. Her husband is a beer enthusiast, and she says she's discovered some great new music thanks to our show. Thanks for the great podcast. So thank you, Linda. And Chris from Cordova, Tennessee, a new resident of Memphis. Cordova is a suburb of Memphis, and apparently he went on the internet to find out about beer in Memphis and came across us, and says that he really appreciates it and keep up the good work. So thank you, everyone, for sending us those kind words. That's very nice of them to say that.
It is. So
it is.
Thank you to the listeners out there.
We were going to do it anyway.
Please write and let us know that people are actually listening.
That's right. It's really, it just thrills us to death because we don't do this for money. We just do it so we can have an excuse to sit around and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, other than family and friends.
That's right. That's right. So.
And I'm not sure how much our family and friends really
want to hear us. That's it. Are y'all going to sit around and talk about beer again thing?
Yes.
That's what we're doing. So, I was telling you about our pizza adventure that we had, grilled pizza. And I talked to a guy at a pizza place when I was, apparently to me, and I think this is probably true of any pizza, is that the two most difficult parts of a pizza are the crust and the sauce. That's the hard part. And I took a lot of shortcuts because I was focusing on grilling. Mm-hmm. I went and I bought some pizza dough in the little can. I think it's Pillsbury or somebody. It's pizza dough in a can. I didn't want to mix anything up. I wanted it to just be ready to go. I got home, I pop a can open, throw it on the grill, cook my crust. So that works. And it's not bad, but it's just not quite the same as as having your own dough made fresh like
the pizza. Well, have you done that yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you ever made pizza dough?
I've made dough way back, but it's like, you know, you have to start that early on because you have to let it sit and prove and rise and knead it and punch it down, all that. So I talked to the guy at the pizza place, and this is a tip for people who want to try this. Obviously, yes, you can buy the canned pizza dough to grill your own pizza, or you can talk to your local pizza guy and buy dough balls. And apparently, my pizza guy sells dough balls, and he knows about grilled pizza and invited me to bring him some pizza, which I thought, oh, that's different. You know, pizza store guy wants me to bring him pizza. Mm-hmm. So we've got this on the website. It's a grilled pizza, and there's two ways to do it, straight on the grill or on a pizza stone. And I will tell you that a pizza stone is a lot easier. But the grill, I did that. That was a challenge.
Well, there's another one, too, that they're the fire ovens or the wood ovens that I've seen.
Yeah.
Those are pretty popular in most of your major cities right now. I don't know that we have many of those in the Memphis area. But basically, it's a
wood-fired oven. Yeah. And I use wood chips. Yeah. I use wood chips, but it wasn't the same thing as coals from wood.
Yeah, right? This is where they actually put the logs out there.
And you had talked about when you were going to build your grill that was one of the things you wanted to do.
That's one of the things I don't want to add to it because my wife's a big pizza maker. So
there you go.
From scratch, the whole thing. She's gone through the grilling the pizza phase about 2 years ago, I'd say. I haven't seen one this year, but there was a while where we were having it every other night or so.
Well, it's pretty popular these days around my house.
It's fun.
It is. It's got its difficulties, and we will talk about that a little more right after this musical break. We're going to listen to Little Ed and the Blues Imperials, Never Miss Your Water.
Just will. you look for me, but I won't be around. In a certain whole wide city, but I won't be found. 'Cause you never miss your water. Never miss your water till you well run dry.
Imperials, and little Ed is quite little. I saw a picture of him, and apparently he's mastered the ability to levitate. Either that or it's a faked photograph, but I'm pretty sure he knows how to levitate. He's like levitating about 3 feet off the ground. All the rest of the guys who apparently are really tall are standing around.
Smoke and mirrors and wires. I'm sure.
You think? You don't think as well? Okay.
I'm cynical that way.
Yeah. Well, so I didn't get to hear any Chicago music, but I made a point when I was there. I looked this up, and I do this. I try and do this every time I go somewhere. Is find, okay, where am I going to go to have the best whatever it is that the city's known for?
Mm-hmm.
So we have this all marked off. We're going to get our Chicago hot dogs. They're known for their hot dogs. We're going to get our Chicago deep dish pizza. And I'm going to go to the Chicago Brewery, and they're going to go to the Miracle Mile and shop till they throw up. And they did that. My wife got sick as a dog, but that didn't prevent her from shopping.
Till
she dropped, literally. And they enjoyed that. And so I had some really good pizza, and that's kind of what inspired me to, well, not to make a deep dish pizza, but see, okay, what can I do with this on the grill? I'd heard of a grilled pizza before. So I was talking about, we digressed earlier about the pizza dough. I got my pizza dough, and this is all on the website.
Now, this is out of the can.
Out of the can, yeah.
Pop it fresh.
Whoever you find. And basically what I did was I got a big cookie sheet.
Well, you definitely don't want to go with a DiGiorno, which is pre-cooked. Basically.
No, you can't do a pre-cooked, or you will have burnt leather pizza on there.
You want dough.
You've got to have dough. And what I learned from my first go-round, which luckily I didn't photograph, put the heat as low as possible on your grill. Now, on my grill, I've got a pretty high-powered grill. I got it to about 200 degrees. I think if I had a charcoal grill, you know, you do the hand test where you hold your hand over it.
Yeah.
You should be able to count to 4 or 5. It's got to be plenty high enough. The thing is, you can always cook something longer. You can never cook it shorter. So I cranked the heat all the way down. It probably got to about 300 degrees. And what I did was I got my big cookie sheet. I greased it up with olive oil, which I like olive oil, and traditional pizza is crust in olive oil, but the olive oil in this case is not always the best thing to use because it's got a real low flash point, and it will burn and singe a little bit, but it worked out good enough for me. And what I ended up doing was I greased my cookie sheet, I spread the dough out, and that was kind of difficult with this refrigerator already made dough. Is I put the dough onto the cookie sheet, I pushed it out, spread it out onto a pretty large size.
Then I went outside. My grill's hot. It's up to heat. And that's where I had the challenge of getting it off of the cookie sheet. Pizza dough just doesn't want to come loose. So what I ended up doing is I had some spray grease, Pam or something. I sprayed it really good on there. I took the whole cookie sheet and flipped it over on top of the grill. And that's when I started whacking on it and pulling on it. And finally the dough came off into this real odd sort of rectangular sheet.
Still edible.
Still edible. Yeah. But here's just the caveat with grilled pizza straight on the grill. It is some of the ugliest looking pizza you'll ever see.
Yeah, that's true.
And just get over it. That's just the way it's going to be. But once you get it on there and you close the lid, it does quite nice. It cooks up.
You have to watch out for hot spots.
You do, and that's where you learn exactly where your hot spots are on your grill. Once you start peeking under there, it doesn't take long.
It's very quick.
3 to 5 minutes. You got to watch it. Of course, that again goes to how low can you get your heat.
Now, another issue is, okay, so you got your crust done, and now you've got to spread the sauce and the cheese and get everything melted and gooey the way people expect pizza to be. Yeah. Well, sometimes you're not going to be able to get that with a grill. So you might have to bring it back in and stick
it in the oven. Yeah. Right. And I found out that depends on how thick your toppings are, right? Mm-hmm. So I did a couple of different pizzas. I've got one of them featured on the website. But what I ended up doing was I took my pizza, cooked the one side, stuck my spatulas, had to use two spatulas because it's a big piece of dough, pulled it off back onto my cookie sheet, flipped it over, a death-defying move, so I had my cooked side up. And then that's when I dressed my pizza. I put my sauces and my meats and cheeses. The one that I've got on the website is a barbecued chicken pizza with feta cheese. I took, I bought a chicken. I didn't cook it. I could have, but I didn't. I just picked one up. I wanted something quick, involved grill, but something that I could just knock right out. Mm-hmm. I used some of my barbecue sauce that I gave you some.
And chicken also.
It's a good, simple, all-purpose barbecue sauce. Squirted that on there. Took this broiler chicken that you can get at any grocery store, shredded it up. Threw that on there. I had caramelized a bunch of onions. Vidalia onions, some sweet onions or red onions would be good, and threw some feta cheese on there, and put it all back on the grill, slid it off, slid a little better this time because it got a little firmness to the crust, and then finished it. And like you just said, it doesn't quite finish as well on top. So my grill, I've got a nice gas grill, has a rotisserie element. And I lit that, and that kind of helped do the broiler effect. But like you said, if you don't have that, well, you may have to come finish it inside to melt the cheese down and get that little browning of the cheeses and stuff like that.
Yeah, ultimately, you don't want to do that. Your goal as a cook and a griller is to not have to bring it in and finish it off.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, you got to eat.
You got to compromise.
You got to eat. So I didn't want to, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, well, I'm cheating. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm making pizza. Come on.
Heat is heat.
Yeah. Heat is heat. And I cooked it for the most part on the grill.
It's quite sacrilegious.
Yeah, I know. Somebody's going to get me. I'm sure there's people at Food Network monitoring our conversations right now, and they dispatched the cooking SWAT team to come here and steal my grill away from me right now. Yeah, I'll probably get in trouble for that. But anyway, it came out really good. It's on the website. Take a look. And follow along in your books, and make you some ugly pizza. I tell you one thing.
It's an interesting idea if you don't want to make your own pizza dough to go buy some.
Yeah, the dough balls from the, and I'm looking forward to trying that. I think it's going to work better than this refrigerated dough. I think it's got more elasticity or something. And as you mentioned,
I think you need to just kind of break the barrier and make your own.
Yeah, I know, but that takes a lot of time. I mean, I'm good with low and slow, and taking a long time to cook meat. But you don't have to touch it and mess with it a lot. Because if I got a beer bottle in my hand, it's hard to knead dough.
Do you know people that like to make beer typically end up making sourdough breads and things like that?
Yeah,
as a pollen.
Well, that's true.
And then they get meat. They mix their yeast strains. And have kind of a mess. But
well, so it's on the website. Take a look.
And I have done this. I can tell you this is a big family favorite. And this is one of the things I found out, that grilled pizza has an advantage over normal pizza in that the grill marks themselves form little grooves that hold sauce. So you put the sauce in, you've got like these little sauce pockets all over the pizza.
Oh, no, that's a benefit.
And, yeah, some.
Well, of course, that's the American version of the pizza, but you could also have the European versions with mostly coated in olive oil.
Yeah, yeah, the
hardly use margarita pizza. Yeah. Paste at all.
Exactly. And it's real popular around here. I'm going to invest in a pizza peel. I'm going to try the dough balls. I'm going to try it with a little cornmeal to dusting to make it slide.
Can you buy
those
and freeze them?
The dough balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got me. Why not? I don't know how well dough works. We'll have to try that and report back later.
Okay.
So let's listen to Coco Taylor. And Coco Taylor is one of my personal favorites. This woman has got just this gravelly, whiskey and smoke riddled voice. And she is the quintessential female blues singer. I have no idea. She's probably pushing 120 years old. She sang with everybody, but you listen to her and you know that she is all about the blues, and she's singing the words to live by. Don't let me catch you with your drawers down.
Well, I look forward to hearing that also.
Don't let me.
we're reading our Goose Island Brewery menu, and are starting on our second Goose
Island. The Honkers Ale,
and you were just reading that. I don't even see where
it says Honkers Ale. Goose Island's classic Honkers Ale is a subtle and elegant American pale ale in English style. Beautiful honey amber hue with a pronounced hop aroma, mm-hmm. perfectly balancing a medium malt body and a dry hop finish. Right. So I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Did we even talk about the first one?
No, not really. Should we? I can read what...
We just drank right through that.
I can read what they say about it. It says it's a summer bitter, a golden-colored, medium-bodied special bitter brewed with Simpson's, Maris, Otter, and Crystal malts for a slight caramel sweetness and aroma.
Which it did have.
Yep. Yep. Summer bitter is hopped exclusively with Yakima Goldings, mm-hmm. for a clean middle and a crisp finish.
Yeah, and I think that's very true.
No food recommendations with this one. The Honkers Ale is paired with buffalo burger and barbecue pork sandwich.
Mm-hmm. So, goes good with barbecue, which I agree with that.
Excellent.
I like a little hoppy beer with my barbecue. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we went to Chicago. I visited Goose Island Brewery. It's a wonderful place. They are a... they started as a brew pub. They turned into a microbrew, and now they are what is known as a regional brewery. And I'm looking at my official brewery definitions from beercollections.com. This is the interesting beer facts. Microbrew, 15,000 barrels a year.
Okay.
So that's not much. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't that much. A brew pub is, of course, a brewery located in a restaurant and or a pub which produces beer for consumption there. And the regional brewery, a brewery in the U.S. or Canada, I suppose really it applies to anywhere, that produces between 15,000 and 1 million barrels of beer. Then, if you go over a million barrels, that's when you're known as a large brewery. Well, a million barrels seems like a lot to me. So, I talked to the guys at Goose Island. They are available in 8 states, primarily in the north portion of the U.S., northeast. They ship it all around, and they do not distribute here in Tennessee, unfortunately. They have very good beer, and it's a lot of different varieties. They're... I think they're more
people in Tennessee.
Yeah,
go north.
Yeah,
they're more
conservative in approach than rogue breweries who are crazy people, and they'll brew anything if they can get their hands on it. And they of course have a much bigger distribution network. And hopefully these Goose Island guys will grow. We're drinking these out of growlers.
Did you approach their brewmaster or anything to get an interview?
I did not, but I hope to have one. And if I don't tack it on to the end of this show, there will be something forthcoming. I was
pretty impressed with the fact that you went out to Rogue to ask them to talk about
that. But that's the thing about most of the brewers that are microbrews, craft brews, or even getting into large brews, they're accessible. They want to tell everybody about their beer because they're very proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought it might be fun for us to try is call Sam Adams. See if we can talk to somebody.
That would be great.
And we'll get some PR flag. So we may have to try that on a future show. Just
that
see
would
who
be
we
good,
can,
a good lesson for me.
We'll just have to see who we can get a hold of by picking up the phone and calling. You never know. You know, that's what my mother always told me, if you don't ask, you never get it. So we're going to call this a show. And we're finishing off our Honkers Ale, which is very good. We failed to mention that Rick and I enjoyed two other Goose Island beers, the 312 Urban Wheat Ale.
Oh, that was excellent.
It was an excellent beer.
I still think about that one.
I had that, and this is on tap at restaurants all over Chicago and apparently the upper north and northeast of the U.S. They sell that everywhere. And we also have the Hefeweizen, which we talk about in show number 8.
So listen to show number 8.
Absolutely. And I bought a 312 Urban Wheat bike jersey.
So I'm looking forward to wearing my Powered by Beer bike jersey and going out there. And that's you know, how I earn my beer. I go and burn the calories off, then replace them with a malt beverage. And that's about it for this show. Thanks for listening. Please visit BigFoamyHead.com. Send us your comments, questions, criticisms, concerns.
Enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music. Patronize all of the artist websites. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.